Hi there, and welcome to Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is April 10th, 2024, and I hope you're having a hugely blessed day or evening or have had the whole day whenever you happen to be listening to the show. All right, so I heard something really cool on a TikTok video yesterday. And I did a little research on the saying, and I was like, holy shit, this is pretty cool. And then when I found out who had written it, I was like, oh my God. So let me explain to you what it is that I heard that was just hit me really hard, and I hope this resonates with you. All right, here we go. It's never too late to be what you might have been. Think about this for a second. Slow down. It's never too late to be what you might have been. And those profound words were penned by renowned English novelist Mary Ann Evans, better known by her pen name George Eliot. And this has come across many generations because Miss Mary Ann was born in the early 1800s, and she has written some pretty amazing novels in her day. And like, for example, Middlemarch, which is often considered her masterpiece, The Mill on the Floss, Silas Manor, Romola, Daniel Deronda, and I hope I didn't misspell that. But her novels are known for their realism. Important note here, psychological depth and exploration of moral and social issues. You know, she was had a long-term relationship with the married writer and critic George Henry Lewis from 1854 until his death in 1878, and was somewhat of a scandal in Victorian society. So anyway, she lived, obviously, a colorful life, but I want to go back to this. It's never too late to be what you might have been. So when you are going through life, and if you've come through life, and if you've had any chance to live your life, and you feel like you're stuck in a situation where, well, you know, I am where I am. You know, you are where you are. That's just the way that it is. No, it's not. And let me tell you why. So many successful people found success later in life. I'm not suggesting that you can't find it early on in life. Look into the tech world. But what I can tell you is that it's never too late to be that which you want to be. You know, you don't have to listen to what I like to refer to as societal norms. You don't have to listen to people tell you, you're too old. Jesus, you're 50 years old. You're 60 years old. You're 70 years old. You're not dead. Come on now. You know, that don't listen to that that rhetoric bullshit and buy into that, you know, you can't do shit because you're too old to do it. Or let's say you've got too many obligations. You got kids, you got this, you got that. Well, that's fine. It's okay to have all of those things. That's not the problem. You know, at all. Not the problem at all. You know, you just need to have a situation where you believe in yourself. You know, where you absolutely believe in yourself. And you can have these things. So let's talk a little bit more. Hold on just a second. Get this pulled up here, and yeah, here we go. You know, at the heart of Eliot's statement lies, and I'm reading from an article that I wrote about this, and I want to share with you. You can see it on my blog at robertbruton.com. At the heart of Eliot's statement lies a fundamental truth of our potential is not limited by our past or present circumstances. Too often we allow our self-doubts, fears, and perceived failures to dictate our future. We convince ourselves it's too late to change, learn new skills, or pursue our passions. However, Eliot's words challenge this notion, reminding us that growth, transformation are always within reach, leading to a life of personal growth and fulfillment. You know, and anybody can do this. You can do this. You know, and what sucks is that societally, we've been taught that, you know, there's only so much you can do, which is all bullshit. You know, you can be more than what you are. That no doubt. I don't give a shit where you come from, what color your skin is, what any of that. What your orientation doesn't make a damn bit of difference, and stop letting it dictate your life. You're an individual human being with extreme potential. How many rags to riches stories do you need to read before you believe it? Because there are more rags to riches stories than there are silver spoon to riches stories. You know, think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Knowledge is power. And we've been talking about that for a few days, and this is why this resonated with me so much. Is it doesn't matter, you know, 20 years ago, if you'd have told me I'd be doing what I'm doing today, I would have said you're full of shit. There's no way. But I decided a good long time ago that I was going to do what I wanted to do, not what I had to do. Huge difference. Are you working in an office where you really hate your job? You don't really like it? You know, it's okay, pays the bills, but are you getting any real fulfillment out of it? Probably not. So we'll get back to that in a minute. You know, one of the primary obstacles that prevent individuals from pursuing their dreams is the paralyzing fear of change. We become comfortable in our routine even if they don't align with our desires. The prospect of stepping out of our comfort zone and venturing into an unknown can be terrifying. However, this willingness to embrace change opens the door to personal growth and fulfillment. Eliot's words remind us that change is possible and necessary for our evolution. It is through challenging ourselves, taking risks, and exploring new horizons that we discover our true potential. By letting go of the fear that holds us back, we create space for new opportunities and experiences to enter our lives. Now, let's stop here, and we've hit this point several times in the last few episodes, and let me just reiterate what that is. Knowledge. Knowledge can overcome all fear. So if you're afraid of something, what are you afraid of? Identify what you're afraid of, then start researching how to overcome it. There is a ton of shit out there, including my own books, that you can read articles by the hundreds that I've written, podcasts by the dozens that we've done. And I'm not the only one out there doing it. Knowledge will overcome all your fears. When you can absolutely articulate what it is that you're wanting to do, where someone who may be completely against you, i.e. spouse, family, mom, dad, and not in a mean way, but coming from a we're in a safe space mode. Oh, honey, you know, we've got children, we've got bills, we have a mortgage, we can't, you know, the kids have college, they, you know, all of these things. They can still have all that. If there's something that is regrettable for me, it's that I was so busy making a life that I forgot to have a life. Think about that for a minute. That'll choke you. You were so busy making a life that you forgot to have a life. Well, how am I going to turn this into money? How am I going to turn it into that? Stop worrying about the how. Find a why. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to do? If you could do anything in the world and there's no obstacles in front of you, none. Time, money, family, nothing. What is it that you really want to do? I want to be a lifeguard on the beach. Okay. So if you have a little bit more in debt and a little bit more obligations than what a lifeguard might typically make in a season, how could you, with your entrepreneurial mind, turn that into something that's cool? Could you write books? Could you do documentaries? Could you teach others how to do it? Could you get on a speaking circuit? What could you do beyond just that, that still keeps you in that which you love, but expands it out so that you can make more money to support your current life? Where there's a will, there's a way. Learn when lack of resources become resourceful. And you can. You can. You just have to research it. What have we talked about? The library is a great place to go start. Wikipedia is a great place to go start. Research on the internet, YouTube, Vimeo, all these places have wonderful resources that you can draw from those wells to drink the water of change. Overcoming the fear of change is simply knowledge. And if you're married, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to, because here's the thing. I would be afraid too. If I was a spouse and all of a sudden my spouse came to me and said, hey, and we were really, 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 really counting on her job, her income, and so forth to maintain our home, our children's lives, yada, 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 yada. Then yes, it could really become something where I'm afraid, you know, because you get complacent and you get into your routine and then all of a sudden you're here and you're going, I love where I'm at. I don't want to, I love where I'm at. And so I don't want to lose it. So there is a lot of education that has to go into this. And again, knowledge overcomes. Because when you can sit down and you say, okay, we're not changing today. But can you hear me out? And a lot of times you have to start these things well in advance of ever sharing it with people around you. Even your friends might say, dude, what the fuck are you thinking, man? No, that's stupid. Don't be doing some dumb shit like that. What are you, crazy? So you're gonna sell out your what would really give you a fulfilling and life Because somebody told you it was stupid? What the hell kind of shit is that? So you may have to go it alone for a while until you get to a point where you can say, okay, I have all these things. This is what I want to do. This is the research and things that I've done. And when people ask you what you're doing, just say, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm expanding my mind. I'm learning. I just felt a need to learn some stuff, you know, instead of getting stuck into a TV screen, getting stuck into scrolling on TikTok or wherever, and actually start doing something that has some meaning into your life. But don't let naysayers knock you out. That's why I'm saying sometimes in this changes, you have to go it alone for a time. You know, we talked about this yesterday as well, but I want to just touch on it again today because it flows into what we're learning. And this goes back, think about this, we're going back to the 1800s. So the things that we're talking about, this shit is not new. This is stuff that people thought about and have thought about for centuries. This ain't that I'm not forging some new path. I'm telling you, you're going to have to forge your own path. You're going to have to move shit out of the way. You're going to have to do this on your own, just the same as me. You know, lifelong learning in a rapidly changing world, acquiring new knowledge and skills is essential for personal and professional growth. By embracing a mindset of continuous learning, we expand our horizons, broaden our perspectives, and enhance our ability to adapt to a new challenge. The thing is that, you know, how many of you back in school said, God, I'm going to be so glad when I can get out of here and I can just start living life? Well, that's all well and good. And yes, that's an amazing, wonderful day. However, let's say that you've lived some life and let's say you're down 2 divorces, child support, a couple of kids, and life just hasn't really been that kind. So if you were open in your heart to learning and saying, well, you know what, I wonder why I have 2 spouses and children, and I wonder why I'm paying all this child support, which you have to take care of your children, that's you know, but those are things that typically men suffer. And it's something where you have to sit back and go, well, you know what? If I'm going to have a relationship, maybe I better go learn how to actually have a relationship. You know, it's not something that you learn together. There are things and principles. Yes, I can, you know, I want to take care of my wife. I want to provide for our family. Yeah. Okay? But there's so much more to it than just those broad strokes. You know, how do I communicate with my spouse? How do we communicate on a level that's fulfilling to us both? How do I drag a person? Because here it is. You bring your weirdness, she brings her weirdness, and you put that together, and now we have this huge mishmash of weirdness that we have to learn to work through together. Maybe understanding, and I don't mean this in a negative way, you know, women can be moody because they have way more hormones than men. So it's understandable that they may be more moody than a guy. They may have a different perspective on certain things than you do, and vice versa. So how do we sit down and talk and educate each other in a fun and loving way so that that when we do hit these life bumps, instead of screaming at each other, we help each other put on the life jackets. You can sit there and argue and you can drown. Or you can stop and say, wait, babe, hang on, I want to buckle your life vest. Can you help me with mine? And both of you want to. Nobody wants to go through divorce. I can tell you that from, you know. My divorce broke me in two for a time. Broke me in two. Man, I didn't want it. I loved the woman like there wasn't no tomorrow. But through time and learning and things like that, then, you know, all that's ancient history now. But if I'm going to have a successful relationship with someone down the road, then I better learn and kind of reevaluate where she and I went wrong. You know? Marriage is a two-way street. Relationships are a two-way street. Boyfriend, girlfriend, that's a two-way street. So we have to learn, lifelong learning. If you ever want to have a completely successful life, then you have to learn. And relationships are a biggie. Work. If you want to, you know, if you want to move up in your job, we better learn how to do your boss's job. Well, if they just give me this manager's job, I'd learn and I'd be good. No, know how to do it. And then show your boss's boss you can. Saying you're going to take somebody's job and put them on the street. But, you know, if something comes up or if another division opens up or whatever, you know, and they know that you have these skills and skill set and you can fill in for your boss maybe when they go on vacation or have sick and down times. Hey, go grab me Pete to sit in for Bob today. He's got the flu. Let's make sure that, you know, everything runs smoothly. Pete knows how to do Bob's job. Or they could say, man, we don't have anybody that can do Bob's job. Son of a bitch. So think about those things for a minute. So, while Eliot's words inspire, it's essential to recognize that mere contemplation is not enough to bring about change. To truly embrace our potential, we must take action. This involves setting clear goals, developing a plan of action, and consistently working towards our objectives. What have we talked about? Write down everything that you want to do without any hint of how. Create the why. The how will come together. People say, well, how are you going to do that? I don't know. Well, then you're not going to be a success. Yes, I am. Well, you don't know how to do it. No, I don't. So I'm embracing the challenge of learning, knowledge. I don't know today, but I'll know tomorrow. Taking action requires courage. Sometimes you're going to have to grow a pair. Persistence and a willingness to face challenges head on. It means stepping outside our comfort zone. And one of the things that your brain's going to do often when it feels stressed or feels the anxiety level coming up, it's going to say, whoa, 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 we need to stop right here. No, pumpkin, come on. Let's take two steps back. Let's not take two steps forward. That's painful. No, that hurts. And your head, you know why? Because your mind is at a level of complacency that it's not used to going beyond. All you have to do is train it to go beyond. It's just like running in a marathon. When you hit the wall, as they say, at that 16, 17, 18 mile mark, or thereabout, is marathon runners hits what's called the wall. And their body starts to tell them that it's completely shutting down, that you're getting hurt, your knees are hurt, your legs are hurt, your heart's hurt, everything in your body's hurt. And when they medically studied this umpteen times, hundreds of times, they found out that all of it was in your head. Your body was fine. Your legs are fine. Your heart's fine. Your lungs are fine. Your tendons, your bones, your muscles, they're all fine. It was psychosomatic. It was in your head. And once you ran through that, knowing that it was full on just your head and not your body hurting, guess what they did? They finished the marathon. Because they broke through. And then as you continue on through that, as I understand it, it becomes easier and easier to do because your brain is used to that level of stress and pain because your body can take a shitload more than you think it can. So when stepping outside our comfort zone, accepting the possibility of failure and learning from our mistakes by consistently taking small steps towards our goals, we build momentum and create a positive feedback loop that propels us forward. Because you don't just stop because it gets hard. You know what happens when you get to a stale point where shit starts moving? Now all of a sudden, guess what you got to do? You got to go out and figure out why. So it becomes a puzzle. Comes a 10,000 piece puzzle, and that's a bitch to make. So you sit there and you keep trying this piece and this piece and this piece, and then all of a sudden it fits. This piece, this piece, this piece, this piece, this piece, this piece, all of a sudden it fits. But it won't be easy. But think about how easy it will be on the other side. That's your focus. Once I get through this mountain of shit, guess what? I'm on the other side of green grass till another mountain of shit comes in front of me. So you have to embrace the journey. Embarking on a path of personal growth and transformation is not always a linear or predictable process. There will be setbacks, detours, and moments of doubt. However, it is essential to recognize that these challenges are an integral part of your journey. Wow, it's pretty profound, if I have to say so myself. So, it's going to kick you in the balls. It's going to knock you back. It's going to make you sit there and go, why me? Or what the hell? Or, you know, I can't take this. I can't take the pain. I can't take the suffering. I can't take the heartache. I can't take the sorrow. When in doubt, when in fact you very much can. Just run through the wall. Run through the pain. This is not something that's going to be handed to you on a silver platter. If it was, everybody would get a silver platter and we all be rich and famous and have spectacular lives. Nope, this is something you're going to have to work for, just like me. And anybody else, you know. You know, while embracing change and pursuing our potential, potential is inspiring. It is essential to acknowledge that challenges that may arise along the way, change even when it's positive, can be uncomfortable and unsettling. It requires us to step out of our familiar routines comfort or fears and navigate uncharted territories. Sometimes you're going to be there without a map. Guess what? You're the guy that's got to draw the map. You're the guy that's got to draw, you're the guy or gal that's got to draw the map. Because you're in uncharted waters, Big Daddy. You're going to have to put the map together. So embrace that. That's inspiring. Absolutely inspiring. One of the most significant challenges that you're going to face is the fear of failure. The prospect of taking risks and potentially falling short can be paralyzing. However, it is essential to reframe our perspective on failure instead of viewing it as a setback or a reflection of our worth. We must see it as an opportunity for growth, for learning. You know, so if something's going and you're looking stupid or feeling stupid or you're feeling not worthy you're saying, see, I told you, I'm just too stupid. You're telling yourself you're too stupid to do it. Well, stop telling yourself that. You're not. You lack knowledge. You lack the knowledge that you need to overcome where you are. Another huge challenge is societal expectations and others' opinions. You can, forgive me, but people can wipe their ass with their opinions. Unless it's some constructive, meaningful criticism, then keep that shit. And you know, and here's what you do. You say, and you smile, and you let it go in one ear and out the other. You throw that shit in the garbage. Because here's what's going to happen. All this bullshit that you hear from society, all this bullshit you hear from family and friends, all of these things, they're all sitting there going, why? And when it's all done, they're all going to come to you and go, man, how did you do that? Can you teach me? How the hell did you make that happen? Think about that for a minute. It's easy to beat someone down. As humans, we've become incredibly proficient at it, sadly. So don't listen to it. Remember the wall. You don't have to run through this one. That's why I said you may have to go it alone for a good while before you share with others. And there's a reason for that. It's because as a species, we've become incredibly proficient at hurting one another. And that's a sad state of affairs. So don't be afraid to go it alone for a while. You know, if you've got people that you ultimately trust, that you know that no matter what you've done in your life, they have supported and stood behind, then make sure when you go and tell whomever and share with whomever what you're changing and what you're wanting to do, make sure that you can articulate that in a way that makes it understandable. Make sure that what's going to convince me that you're in a good place is your knowledge. When you can sit there and go, damn, I didn't think about that. Damn, I didn't think about that. You know? Think about this for a minute. There are millions of novels out for sale today. Millions. And you want to write the next great American novel. Well, you know what's wonderful about that? Is that it's your story. Your story could be the next great American novel. Why? Because it's unique. It's your story that you're telling. And it's your storytelling prowess that makes it a great American novel. So don't for a minute think that with all the books out in the world that you can't hit the New York Times bestseller list. It just gonna take a little work. Because you can. I know people who have. So, crowded space, you just have to learn how to stand out in a crowded space. That's a whole other podcast. You know, so eventually you'll want to cultivate a support system. And a lot of times, you know what it is for me? People within the industries that I'm touching, other filmmakers, other authors, is who I tend to rely on as a support system much more so than I do my family or friends. Because they're not doing, think about this for a minute, if they're not doing what you want to do with your life, then they really don't have anything other than, I love you, baby, go get them. You got this, honey, and come on. How was your day? What did you do? You know, can I come to the set tomorrow? Or, you know, hey, can I read a couple chapters tonight of your book? Are you ready for that? You know, that's a family support system. But when you have a support system of other filmmakers who share their ideas and wisdom with you, and vice versa, or other authors that are going through the same thing at the library, there's a meeting of local book authors that get together and just talk about what their current work is, what they're working on, what challenges they're having. You know, if they're having trouble developing a character, I can't make this character come to life. You know, whatever the case may be, this is a good peer group from which to draw from that well and drink from that knowledge. So make sure that your resources and communities that you align with are aspirational. They aspire to the same things you want. They make you reach just a little bit further. There's I grew up in the horse racing business as a kid. And there's a way that you can, and it's not it's a very cool way to make a horse stretch out and run faster. And it's not hitting him with a whip or doing anything serious. But what happens is a horse has a certain amount of vision, and they can only see so much in front of them, okay? And so they have to see their feet. So if a horse is looking down where he doesn't actually stretch out his legs as far as he should, then what you do on his bridle is you put what's called a shadow roll. And a shadow roll is nothing more than a sheepskin, you know, you know how the car seats are with the soft sheepskin thing that, you know, that feels so good. Well, you put this across their nose. And what it does is it blocks their vision so that they actually will reach further with their legs. They'll stretch out because they still have, they're just not using the full stretch of their legs. And as a trainer, you learn that. You watch your horse and go, he's just not stretching out. So you start out with a little shadow roll, and you see where he is. Okay, and then you graduated up until you know that he's at full stride. Now all of a sudden your horse is running like the wind, and all it took was this little bitty thing called a shadow roll. So, you know, you can learn to take bigger strides. Sometimes you need to look up, not down. And that's what a shadow roll does. Makes you look up, not down. So, and it makes you stretch further. So do I need to come over and put a shadow roll on your glasses? So, keep in mind that these, you know, that you can be more than you think you can be today. Where your confidence level is today, I'm telling you, could be 10 times that with just some work. Hence, that's why I told you the thing about the shadow roll. Sometimes you have to let a horse run with that shadow roll, you know, for a few times before you really dial it down to what size of, you know, how much of his vision do I need to block out? Because there's a different sizes in shadow rolls that allow you to have your horse really stretch out and stretch their legs into a full stride. So there you have it. Another thing is that what you need to do, and this is where we get into, like, and this helps a lot, is meditation. And I'm talking about the role of self-reflection and gratitude is a section in the article that I wrote. But what I can tell you is that in self-reflection, the best place to do that is in meditation. And so in meditation, what you want to do is you just simply want to lay down somewhere that nobody's going to jack with you. You're not going to be interrupted. You're going to put headphones out to drown out all the sounds in the house, you know, air conditioners kicking on, all that kind of shit, you know, lawnmowers going by, kids playing outside, whatever. And try to get it down where there's no noise other than what's coming through your headphones, which can be ocean sounds, wave sounds, birds, crickets, rain, thunder, whatever. Guided meditation, whatever. And that's where you can relax your mind, quiet your mind, and then you can begin to reflect on, what are my strengths? What do I want to do? And you'll be amazed that with a quiet mind, how clear messages will come to you, how clear creativity will begin to do. But remember, there's a reason that it's called a meditation practice. It's not going to happen overnight. But I'm telling you, if you learn how to quiet your mind, that's life-changing. Being grateful for what you have now. Well, I'll be grateful when I have $1 million in the bank. Well, be grateful if you have a dollar in the bank, because it could be that you don't have a bank account and you don't have a dollar and your ass is on the street. So maybe having a little bit of gratitude about, well, I don't have all the money I need, but by God, there's some there. I've had situations where I go in and look at my a report on a book that I published, and maybe that day it did 23 cents in Amazon Kindle in the library. And I get just as excited about that as if I go in and I see $2,300 or $230. Doesn't matter the dollar amount, I've learned to praise it with gratitude. You know, you have a car, might be a piece of shit, but does it get you to and from work every day? May barely get there and barely get back, but it's barely getting there and barely getting back. So your piece of shit car, at least it's running. Do you have clothes to wear to work? Do you have clothes to wear to your school? Do you have decent shoes that you wear every day? Did you eat at least one time today or yesterday? Do you have the things that you need? Do you have the makeup that you need? Maybe you don't have all the makeup that you want, but you have enough to get by. Sometimes just sitting down and going, you know what? And for me, that it would be this. You know what, God? Thank you. I don't have much, but what I have, I love. And I'm grateful for it, because I could have nothing. Just as easily as I could have something. So remember, be kind to yourself in self-reflection, and be grateful for everything that you have, because here's the skinny, you could have it not. So by incorporating self-reflection and gratitude into our daily lives, we create a foundation of positivity and resilience that supports us in our journey of personal growth. Let me explain to you that when I started meditating and I started doing it all the time, then when things happened to me out in the world, I actually didn't freak out about it. And historically, I might have. I might have gotten angry, I might have gotten boisterous, I might have gotten loud in my language. Today I don't do that. I don't, you know, because my mind is relaxed. And I'm telling you, if you learn how to quiet your mind, you will be a force to be reckoned with. Absolutely. Because when was the last time that you were screaming and yelling about something and you actually made a good decision while screaming and yelling? How many times when you were screaming and yelling did you run out of your apartment, tell your significant other, fuck you, I'm out of here, and get down the street and go, oh fuck, that was stupid. Or you said something in the heat of the moment that was particularly unkind, and now you can't take it back, even though you might say, oh God, I didn't mean to say that. Well, no, actually you fucked up and said it. So it's in that person's head. Sorry about your bad luck, but that shit is there. It's in the conversation now. They may choose to forgive you and say, okay, don't ever let that happen again. And you may go through and you prove yourself worthy of that promise, which is a good thing. But never forget that it's always going to be there, because it came right the fuck out of your mouth. So imagine if you could learn to govern your passions in such a way that it helps you not do something that's hurtful or painful to someone else or to yourself. And you can. I'm telling you, meditation and just simple breathing exercises will get you there. That's too simple. You're right. That's why people don't believe in it or do it, because they think it's too simple. That's not ever going to work. That's just stupid. Okay, well, you keep thinking that, and while the rest of us are blowing past you, you can go, well, I want to learn. Well, it's never too late. That's the whole point of this show right now, today, is it's never too late to be the person that you want to be. Ever. It's never too late to be what you might have been. When you're thinking about things in your life and you're sitting there going, you know, I'm thinking about all the things that could have been in my life, or that I could have been in my life. It's never too late to be that person that you could have been. Ever. Never too late. The only thing holding you back in your life is you. That's the only thing that's holding any of us back. The only thing holding any of us back in our life is ourselves. It ain't your living situation. It ain't the family you come from. It ain't none of that. It's you. And it's me. You can't blame your mama, you can't blame your daddy, you can't blame nobody but yourself. And that doesn't include, and I should say, you know, there are defining moments of a life where, you know, horrific things have happened. And all I can say is that, yes, that I can't really pretend that I understand what the pain level of that would be, because I haven't experienced it. And for someone to ever presume in these situations is bullshit. But what I can say is a support for someone is, don't let the motherfuckers win. Don't let that motherfucker win. The best revenge you will ever get is for people to see you successful, happy, and joyful. And not paying them 1 ounce of your attention, because they don't deserve it, nor have they earned it. So, there are exceptions to all rules, but I'm suggesting that you have the ability to show people by your actions, your activities, and what you do, that you are nobody to be fucked with. And even though they tried, they failed. Because guess what? You came out on top. It might hurt like a motherfucker, but guess what? You came out on top. You're the winner. Not the perpetrator of some god-awful thing. You're the winner. If you choose to be. And it's, again, all of us have a backstory. All of us have our inner demons. All of us have demons in our life that would love nothing more than for us to be miserable, for us to be hurt. And I say, fuck them. No. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. No. Be you. Be the strong, wonderful person that you can be. It's never too late to be what you might have been. Ever. And what makes this so incredibly powerful is that, you know, this is a centuries old thing. This is not something new. So therefore, any fear you have that it would be, well, this is something new, nobody's tried this, well, bullshit. Bullshit. So you can have a life that you choose to live. And don't make the mistake. And I struggle with this a lot, is for years I was so busy trying to make a life, so busy letting others dictate what I had to do. My life's about doing what I want to do, not what I have to do. Doing what fulfills me. I don't worry about how it's like when you write a book, you can't worry about, well, I wonder if it's going to sell. Some are, some aren't. I got books that I thought were going to be like the end all to be all, and they didn't, you know, they really didn't do that well. And then I got others that I was like, well, all right, I'm going to go ahead and I can't. It's finished. It's done. You publish it, and all of a sudden, son of a bitch. You know, going, damn, that was all right. And it usually was something that, you know. But I write for me. I don't write for, you know, and most filmmakers, authors, artists, and stuff, when they do something that warms their heart, then what's the beauty of that is that they believe there's others out there with the same kindred soul that they have, and they'll find it just as beautiful as you do. And there are, because the world is a pretty damn big place. So that in mind. Do you, boo? So I hope that you found this as thought-provoking as I did. It really was pretty cool. I loved it. And I will leave you with a little something. Is a fool is known by his speech. A wise man is known by his silence. And that's what I said, when you sometimes you have to go it alone. You know, when you gotta tell everybody, I'm as good as the day is long, that's when I grab a extra diaper and throw it on and say, not today, motherfucker. You know, when you gotta oversell something to sell something, then your message is bullshit. It doesn't work. And people aren't gonna listen to you for that. So, you know, you got this, and you got it in a big way. So, with all of that, we have come to the end of today's journey, and I hope that you really got something out of this episode. It meant a lot to me, and I'm just happy that I was able to do it and very grateful for that. So anyhow, you can follow the link in our bio that takes you where you can go see on my Amazon author page. You can see other things that we're working on. You can follow us on the social media accounts that we're on, which we're really kind of limited now down to a couple. So I hope that you're following us on X, and I hope that you follow us here, and I hope you follow us on YouTube. And we also have a Rumble account for our news and our Flight Risk music. So I hope that you will take a look at all of it. So thank you so much for your kind attention today. I appreciate it very much. And with all that, this is the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. And I am your host, Robert Bruton. Bye for now.